We'll check markets after the tumble. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. After the 1.8% 372-point drop in the Dow yesterday, stock index futures in the U.S. are lower again this morning. The Dow future is down 98 points, about 0.5%. The S&P future is down 0.4% now. The NASDAQ future is down in a similar range, about 2.5 hours here before the opening bell. The 100-share index in London is down 1.3%. All this selling of stock was to the advantage of bonds. Look at this yield on the 10-year note, down to 2.18%. It was up at 2.4% a week ago. There's news this morning. The European Commission is fining Facebook $122 million. It's accused of not doing what it promised after it bought the messaging company WhatsApp in 2014. The BBC's Jonathan Frewen filed this for us.
The fine is for Facebook providing misleading information in regulatory filings for its $19 billion takeover of WhatsApp. The European Commission pointed out that Facebook had said it could not automatically match user accounts on its own platform and WhatsApp. But last year, it launched a service that did just that, which enabled the company to steal a march on rivals because it could use the combined data to better support its advertising business. Facebook said that it had made an error in the filing. The Commission could have fined Facebook up to 1% of its global revenue, which would have been more than double the fine imposed, but said that Facebook had cooperated with the proceedings and acknowledged its infringement. It's the first time a company has been penalized under the Commission's merger regulation law since its introduction in 2004.
Jonathan, thank you. This week in New York, the four big broadcast networks and some cable channels have been pitching their lineup of shows to advertisers. It's a media extravaganza known as the upfronts. The TV people have their theme, their assertion that digital advertising competition is not living up to the hype. In addition to that Facebook in Europe story just now, Facebook also admitted this week that it was mischarging U.S. advertisers. Again, let's consult Marketplace's senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood. Hi, Molly.
Hi, David.
So first, what's going on with our Facebook friends?
This week, Facebook admitted that it had overcharged some advertisers for video ads. And it was a very small instance. In fact, I think they said they were refunding advertisers a median of $10. But the real problem for Facebook is that it is the 10th time just since last September that Facebook has fessed up to some problems with ad metrics. And considering how much advertising Facebook sucks in, it has people worried that, you know, they're maybe not getting what they paid for.
And the thing about online digital advertising is you could measure it. There could be hard numbers. The number is not always so hard.
Yeah, I mean, advertisers are addicted to these metrics, the magical ability to measure how long someone looked at an ad, when they clicked at it, on it. You know, those metrics gave advertisers a real sense of comfort and a sense that they actually knew what was happening when they placed an ad somewhere. And now they're starting to think, hey, maybe that's not true at all.
Meanwhile, the competition, the TV networks at their upfronts, are trying to pounce on this. What are they saying about digital advertising?
You know, it's an interesting year because this is the first time since sort of the rise of social media advertising that you're seeing the major TV networks come out really strongly against it. They for a while, sort of played their own game, made their own pitches. Now they're saying, you can't trust this market. These online ad dollars increasingly go to only Facebook and Google, so you might have metrics problems like we talked about. You could end up next to an ISIS propaganda video on YouTube. And TV advertisers are saying, look, we're the devil you know. It's safer here and you know what's going to happen. You know we're going to still reach audiences.
Molly, what's your sense of this? You've covered this since really the inception of digital advertising. Does the whole industry have clay feet now?
The industry had sort of perceived advertising as moving in an obvious direction, and that direction was digital. And I don't think that is the case. I think TV still has all the same problems that it had before. There are declining ratings. There are fewer spots for ads. Those ads might cost more. But the digital ad market is not the catch-all. It is not the be-all, end-all, and it's not going to save media. And so I think what you're going to see is a more honest conversation about how this really shakes out, as opposed to one winner and one loser.
Marketplace's senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
We have been borrowing: student loans, auto loans, mortgages. That's according to a new report from the New York Fed. Household debt is at a record high, surpassing the last peak in 2008, i.e. right before the financial crisis. But are we smarter now? Marketplace's Ryan Kailath takes a look.
Record debt. Is this a sign of optimism, or is it a warning we're overleveraged? Andrew Howitt at the New York Fed answers like a true economist.
I think it's fair to say that there's good and bad.
Okay, fine. It's complicated. What Howitt can say is that these days, it's a very different group of people borrowing.
Today's debt is held much more by older borrowers and by borrowers with much higher credit scores.
That's because banks tightened lending standards after the crisis. So mortgage delinquencies are down, but they're up for car and student loans.
Since 2006, student loan debt is up 170%. So that's been easily the fastest growing category of debt.
Harvard economist Karen Dinan says students took on big loans during the crisis. It was one of their only ways to pay for school because
job loss was high and household resources were depleted.
And
a broader swath of the population went back to school.
Ultimately, Americans aren't borrowing any better or worse today, just in different ways for different reasons. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailath for Marketplace.
And that'll be quite a delegation accompanying Donald Trump to Saudi Arabia this weekend, his first overseas trip as president. Personages reportedly will include Jamie Dimon of JPMorgan Chase, Michael Corbat of Citigroup, Andrew Leveris of Dow Chemical, Stephen Schwarzman of the investment company Blackstone, plus Masayoshi Son, the tycoon behind the Japanese tech and telecom company SoftBank, also in Riyadh. The folks will announce deals aplenty with Saudi counterparties. The Financial Times notes many of these deals were on track before the president took office. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.